Good evening. One of the more exciting things that has happened to Rebecca and I during our life together happened in Dallas. We were staying in Dallas, and we were trying to find our hotel in the dark. And I was having trouble seeing the streets because of the darkness. And as we were trying to look for the hotel, I had my eyes set on a whole bunch of different things, just trying to get an idea of where we were. But what I wasn't looking at was the street that we were turning onto. And as we turned onto that street, a pair of blaring headlights in my windshield and Becca's very surprised shout told me that I had made an error in judgment. I had turned onto a one-way street, and it was not going our way. it's funny. I was actually going over my notes this afternoon with Rebecca, and she reminded me that that actually happened two times. I was on my best behavior that trip, I guess. This physical life offers us many different paths that we can go down. But the Bible reminds us that we have to be very judicious about the path that we choose. Because in Proverbs 14:12 it says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Whenever we make a decision in our lives, whenever we decide on a path or make a decision and go down it, it would be nice if we went on the wrong path, if there was just a blaring cherry red street sign that said wrong way. But we don't have that. For sure, we can be made aware that we are going down the wrong path, but a lot of times, the ways that we find that out are about as fun as having a pair of headlights in your windshield. There are many ways that seems right to a man and to a woman, but there is only one right way, the path that God has laid out. And the great news is, even though we don't have street signs along our way telling us if we have, in fact, gone the wrong way, we are told in a lot of detail how to go the right way. If you will, turn with me to Exodus 13. Exodus 13 is going to be where we're going to be at this evening. So in the previous chapter in Exodus 12, the Israelites have gone out through the Exodus. The Lord has taken them out of Egypt. And at the beginning of chapter 13, we have some prescriptions for the Passover and also for the dedication of the firstborn. And then the text says, starting in verse 17, "Now when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. For God said, the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Hence, God led the people around by the way of the wilderness, to the Red Sea. And the sons of Israel went up in martial array from the land of Egypt. Every human that walks this earth has an idea formulated in their mind of what the right path is and what the wrong path looks like. When leaving Egyptian bondage, the Israelites had presented to them, nearby to them, what seemed like a pretty straightforward way, the way of the Philistines, which was a well-traveled highway that went up to Gaza. Now, if I were in their shoes, if I were looking at that, if I were looking at my options, I would say, you know, that does seem like a pretty good way to go, especially compared to the route that they ended up taking. The route through the wilderness. You know, I'll take a highway over wilderness any day of the week. That's what seems right in my mind, but we have to be careful, right? Because again, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There are a lot of ways that seem right to us, that seem right to everybody. But the question is that the way that the Lord wants us to go? One of the more popular ways of thinking for both Christians and non-Christians who believe in God, one of the more popular ways of thinking for both of them is, I'm not a bad person. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a rapist. I don't do any of the really bad things. So I should be okay with God. And that's the easy path. That's the way of the Philistines. That's the well-trod path. There's the feet of a lot of people on that path. But is that the way that the Lord wants us to take? Really, that kind of way of thinking is kind of like trying to earn your way into heaven. The path of the Philistines is the way that we go down when we try to win victory on our own. I can sit back and not grow and not do the Lord's will and not turn myself to Him. And as long as I do more good than bad, then this stroll to heaven is going to be an easy one. The stroll to the promised land is going to be an easy one. It's going to be on a pretty easy path. I can earn my way into heaven by doing more good than I do bad. But when someone ends up going down that path, you really realize that it's not that much of an easy stroll. On that path awaits battles that cannot be won. Battles of temptation, of peer pressure, of pride, of anger, of lust, whatever it may be. If we go down that path, we will face these battles and we'll lose. Because we cannot be perfect enough to earn our way into heaven. We cannot ever be good enough to outweigh our bad. We will lose these battles on the easy path if we choose to take it, and we'll end up being slaves in Egypt until we die. Slaves to sin, slaves to death. Or if someone is not a Christian, they'll never leave the chains of bondage at all. Because our flesh is inclined to bondage. It is inclined to slavery. And Jehovah knows it. He said in Exodus 13:17, the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Because that's what our flesh is inclined to do. And, you know, we can do a really good job looking the part. We can look like we are doing the right things in the eyes of a lot of people. We can look like we're on the right path. But we may not be on the path that the Lord has laid out for us. Just like the Israelites looked apart. The Israelites looked ready for war. It said in Exodus 13, in verse 18, the sons of Israel went up in martial array from the land of Egypt. Some versions say they went up armed for battle or armed for war. The Israelites looked the part. It looked like they were going out ready to conquer the world. But the Lord, who in Psalm 44:21 says, knows the secrets of the heart, knew the hearts of the people of Israel. And even though the people of Israel looked ready for war, because they were on the wrong path, they were going to end up going back into slavery if they went that way. So if we take the easy paths and not the path that the Lord leads us on, it goes the same way for us. If we try to do everything our way and not God's way, then we just end up back to slavery. So the question is, how do we know the right way? How do we know that the paths that we are going down are the paths that the Lord wants us on and not highways up to Gaza, the easy paths? Well, I do think that looks is a good place to start. The path through the wilderness does not look like the path of a commercial highway. God's path does not look like the way of the world. And you can tell this by the command that is given to those who walk in His path. In 1 Peter chapter 1, starting verse 15, like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves. Also in all of your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. The Lord's path is the path of righteousness. The Lord's path looks like righteousness and holiness. Is holy a good descriptor for our lives right now? If we look at our lives, do we say it's holy? I don't know that that exactly is the picture of my life. I'm working on it. But it definitely looks a lot holier than it did before. It looks a lot holier than it did before. And I guarantee you that it is a lot holier than it was before. And a life that looks the same after baptism typically isn't traveling the Lord's way. Because His way doesn't look like the path that we left. Now it's on the way. Baptism is a huge step. It puts you on the way. But even though you're on the way, you're not going anywhere. We're standing in the wilderness waiting for the Egyptians to catch up to us and put us back into slavery. And if you're not a Christian, if there is anybody here who's not a Christian, your life has to change. The word holy holds a connotation of being set apart, of being devoted, of being dedicated to God. And that can't happen if we don't give ourselves over to Him. But still, even for those who have been baptized, our spiritual eyes can be imperfect. It can be. And sometimes we're not able to see what holy is and what unholy is at times. The Israelites didn't exactly know the path that they were going on either. Our text says in chapter 13 of Exodus, in verse 21, the Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Now, I've been lost a lot more times than I'd like to admit. And a lot of times that has happened just looking for a car in a Walmart parking lot. But, you know, it's kind of easy to get lost. But it's a lot easier to not get lost if you have a guide in front of you to follow. It's harder to wander off of your path if you have a pillar of cloud and fire to look at. Now, in chapter 14, in verse 19, we read a little bit more about this pillar that God has given to the Israelites. In verse 19, it says, "The angel of God, who had been going before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them." So the pillar contained the Lord's angel, God's angel. An angel is a word that literally means messenger. His angel, his messenger, was in the cloud. Now you may read that and say, wait a minute, I thought back in verse 21 it said that the Lord was in the cloud. Well, Jehovah, speaking again about this angel in chapter 23 and verse 21, says about this angel in the cloud, "Be on your guard before him and obey his voice. Do not be rebellious toward him, for he will not pardon your transgression." And why is that? "Since my name is in him." An angel, a messenger that represented the Lord and his name, stood as a guiding pillar for the Israelites at all times, whether in light or in dark. Always standing before God's people so that they could not be led astray to the left or to the right. They were following the cloud. So how do we find the paths that God wants us to tread? How do we keep ourselves from going from left or right? We keep our eyes on the pillar, on the great sign leading to salvation, the light in the darkness, the messenger that God sent to this earth to proclaim the good news. He was not an angel like we would think of them. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "For to which of the angels did he ever say, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you,' and again, 'I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me'? And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, 'And let all the angels of God worship him.'" He's not an angel like we would think of him, but he was a messenger. Come down to this earth to proclaim God's gospel, his good news. And he was the possessor of the Lord's name. Because it was said in Joel 2:32, "And it will come about that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Whoever calls on the name of Jehovah will be saved. And then Peter says in Acts 4, starting in verse 10, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the cloud. Jesus is how we get on the path, and Jesus is how we stay on the path. And he reveals this fact to us in John 14:6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Allowing ourselves to be led on the right path by following Jesus' teachings, his examples, examining his actions, keeping our eyes on him is the only way that we know what God's path is and how to stay on it. Now, the Lord's path is a path that only he can lead us on. The Israelites, after making the trip out of Egypt, after the Exodus out of Egypt, they came to the edge of the Red Sea. And then the Egyptians realized in their minds that they had made a mistake, and they come chasing after them. So the Israelites, when they're on the edge of the Red Sea, they can't go back. They have Egyptians bearing down on them. They can't go back into slavery. And so they can only go forward. If they want to continue to travel on the path that God has laid out for them, though, which is a body of water, the Lord has to be the one to take them through the sea. Now, the Lord doesn't force us to do anything. So the Israelites, as the Egyptians are bearing down on them and they're on the edge of the sea, they have a choice in front of them. Either they can go back and go back into slavery, or the people, in faith, can go through God's water of salvation. Now, a line that can be had, or a line of thought that can be made from this and can take us down the wrong path is, you know what, and if I go through the water, so what? You know, the Egyptians are still behind us. The Egyptians are still on our tail chasing after us. Wherever I go, I'm not going to be able to escape them. It can be hard to imagine that you can leave your past. It can be hard to imagine that you have left your past. It can be hard to shake the feeling that you're a slave when you've been one for a while. And the Israelites had been in Egypt for 430 years. It would be difficult to think that you could leave that life behind. But isn't it amazing what the cloud did for them in Exodus 14:19? The angel of God, who had been going before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. And there was the cloud along with the darkness, yet it gave light at night. Thus the one did not come near the other all night. The Egyptian army could not get close enough to lay a finger on the Israelites because God's messenger used his body to separate the two. Our past can be hard to shake. It can feel like it is bearing down on us constantly and that it is camped off on the horizon just waiting to get at us. But this image that is given to us in Exodus is a great symbol of hope. Jesus, through his body, can separate us from that sinful past. He can. Try as they might, camp out as long as they might, try to get as close as they can, they can't lay a finger on us. Now, may we still deal with repercussions from sins in the past? Of course. Of course. The chains of bondage, you know, may always leave marks on a prisoner that can always be felt. But we are separated from the past to a point that it can never take us captive again. That we can escape its death and move forward to salvation. which is another promise that the Lord made to the Israelites if they followed His cloud. In Exodus 23, in verse 20, and it's the same promise that we have if we follow Jesus who set before us. In verse 20, "Behold, I am going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way, to bring you into the place which I have prepared." Jesus has gone forward to prepare us a place. But there is a couple of requirements that have to be met in order to get to that prepared place. Number one is, we cannot stop before the water. We cannot. The Israelites could have balked. They could have stayed on the edge of the sea and never went through and just prayed that the angel of the Lord would stay between them and the Egyptians for the rest of their life. And I don't want to say whether he would or wouldn't. I guess I'm more inclined to believe that he probably wouldn't. But I can guarantee you this, they would have never got to the promised land doing that. The only way to do that was through the water. I can say for certain that we have to go through the water as well. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, "Baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." We have to go through the water. And the second requirement is, after we go through the water, we have to be obedient towards God and towards the one that has gone before us. Be on your guard before Him. Do not and obey His voice. Do not be rebellious towards Him. And this is Exodus 23, starting verse 21. "For He will not pardon your transgression, since My name is in Him. But if you truly obey His voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. Then we will be led into the place that has been prepared for us." There are a lot of paths that seem right to us, or that seem right to the world. But there's only one way that is truly right. And we stay on the right path by loving and obeying and listening to Jesus, who will one day come back for us and take us into that place that's been prepared for us. He will one day be a cloud guiding us to our salvation, a guiding cloud to those who walk in the light, and a pillar of judgment and wrath to those who walk in the dark. So if you need to go through the water this evening, if you need to begin that path that the Lord wants you to go on, if anybody needs that, or if you need any prayers from the congregation or anything at all, please come forward while we stand and as we sing.